Readers, I'm thrilled to welcome New York Times bestselling author Daniel Silva back to the Book Report. Silva burst onto the literary scene in 1997 with his best-selling debut, The Unlikely Spy. But it would be Silva's fourth novel, The Kill Artist, that would alter the course of his career. The novel featured the art restorer and sometime Israeli spy Gabriel Alon. The just-released Fallen Angel is the 12th novel in the series. Silva knew from an early age he wanted to become a writer, but his first profession would be journalism. Born in Michigan, raised and educated in California, he was hired on as a temp in 1984 by UPI to help cover that year's Democratic National Convention. Later that year, Silva joined UPI full-time, working first in San Francisco, then on the foreign desk in Washington, and finally as Mideast correspondent in Cairo and the Persian Gulf. Silva returned to D.C. to work for CNN and became executive producer of its talk show unit, including shows like Crossfire, Capital Gang, and Reliable Sources. Silva left CNN in 1997 and began writing full-time. Since then, all of his books have been bestsellers. Welcome, Daniel. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report today.
Thank you, Elaine. Thanks for having me.
What was it like for you to hear that President Clinton has chosen Gabriel as his favorite fictional character?
Deeply humbling. Look, what any time that someone says to me, you're my favorite author, or Gabriel Alon is my favorite character, I'm just blown away by that. But when President Clinton made that declaration a few months ago, I was just astonished and, as I said, humbled. He is a voracious reader, but he also knows an extraordinary amount about the Middle East and about Israel. And so if he can appreciate Gabriel Alon and accept Gabriel Alon, you know, I must have done something right in creating that character.
I'll say. Does the title of your new book, The Fallen Angel, refer back to Gabriel?
I think there are a couple of fallen angels in this book. So in the end, I'm not sure if it really refers to Gabriel or to a woman named Claudia Andreotti, a curator from the Vatican Museums who falls from the dome of St. Peter's Basilica at the beginning of the book.
Yeah. So many of your books seem to have the Vatican as a setting. What is it about it that keeps drawing you back?
Well, it first appeared in the series, in the third book of the series, in a book called The Confessor. It was a book that explored the conduct of the Vatican during the Second World War. And I just fell in love with the place. I also fell in love with the fictitious Pope and the Pope's private secretary, Monsignor Luigi Donati, that I created for that book. And as you said, they have appeared in numerous books since, and they were prominent in The Messenger especially. But this is really, in this book, Gabriel is working behind the walls of the Vatican, restoring a Caravaggio masterpiece as the book opens. And I just, you know, I spent as much time behind the walls of the Vatican as I could when I was researching the book. And, you know, I just find the Vatican to be absolutely irresistible.
Well, your books are so incredible in the depth and breadth of the historical detail that you provide. How long does it take you to do all the research?
It's difficult to say. I do a lot of research while I'm thinking through a book. I do a lot of travel and talking to people, and then I'm researching as I'm writing. So it's pretty much a you know, it runs the length of the book. I do it in tandem with writing. You know, when I was writing the climax of The Fallen Angel, which takes place in the old city of Jerusalem, and without giving too much away, under the old city of Jerusalem, my office looked like, you know, there were books and maps and charts and just scattered all over the place. It was a great deal of work went into trying to get that scene right.
Yeah. In the book, you write that the Table Mount Plateau in Jerusalem is actually very unstable. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it was destabilized a few years ago when the Islamic Waqf, which controls the actual Temple Mount Plateau, the Israelis left the mount in the hands of the Muslims when they conquered East Jerusalem in 1967 in the Six-Day War. An area, underground area known as Solomon Stables, was converted into a massive underground mosque, and the construction destabilized that corner of the Temple Mount, caused the southern wall of the Temple Mount Plateau to bulge, and so it is possible that actually could collapse at some point. That would be a disaster, a potentially an extremely dangerous disaster. But something else also happened during the construction of that mosque, and that is that the workmen for the Waqf, the Islamic Authority, dug up a great deal of earth from the Temple Mount and simply hurled it over the side of the walls into the Kidron Valley or took it to the dump. And as you might imagine, earth from the Temple Mount is filled with all kinds of artifacts, and they were dislodged and sort of, you know, treated very badly. And it was an archaeological crime.
The book talks about temple denial. Do you want to tell us a little about that?
Well, temple denial is sort of mainstream thinking within the Islamic world and the Palestinian leadership these days. It is the contention, we'll call it the contention, that there was never actually a Jewish temple on the Temple Mount. And it's clearly has a purpose to further attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel and Israel's broader right to exist. And I think it is a kind of a first cousin to Holocaust denial. So if your contention is that there was no Holocaust and that there was never a Jewish presence or Jewish temple in Jerusalem, then it's a short stop to that the state of Israel has no right to exist.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. The Fallen Angel deals with the provenance of major artworks and some of their kind of checkered past, if you will. Are national museums actually grappling with this issue about their collections?
Well, we know, look, there are some very famous cases. The Euphronius Crater of the Met, there was the issue and scandal at the Getty Museum in Los Angeles, you know, there was a period where some museums purchased antiquities, ancient antiquities, Greek vases in particular, statues that had came from dubious sources and had dubious provenances, and you know the. It's been a sea change in the last few decades that, you know, the source countries for these antiquities have become much more aggressive in trying to protect them and to reclaim them. And so some prominent museums in this country really got their fingers burned in this process.
And this leads into the discussion about cultural patrimony. You want to talk about that?
Well, cultural patrimony is a term to describe that, you know, items that countries feel are part of their heritage and their possessions. You know, the Italians are descendants of the Etruscans and the Romans, and therefore they rightly claim that Etruscan and Roman artifacts from their soil are rightly theirs.
So in the book, the Hezbollah figures prominently, and they're dealing in antiquity smuggling. Is this really based on fact?
I would say it's inspired by fact. Hezbollah has an enormous criminal operation, global criminal operation, to finance its terrorism networks and its arms procurements and its operations inside Lebanon. They are into drug smuggling, diamond smuggling, human trafficking, black market cigarettes, pirated DVDs, you name it. One U.S. official described them as the Gambinos on steroids. So to me, it was a short leap to suggest in a novel that Hezbollah, which is, of course, based in Lebanon and throughout the Middle East, that they could be involved in antiquity smuggling. And I think deep down, I think I'd actually believe it.
It seems like it could be. So what's next for Gabriel?
You know, I learned a long time ago not to discuss a book that isn't written.
Okay.
So what is next for Daniel is that Daniel will spend the next couple of weeks hopscotching around the country promoting this novel. Then I'll take a week off and recover, and then decide what the next book is going to be, and then I'll go back to Washington, close the door, and start writing it. So I don't know exactly what is next.
Oh, and I also read in your biography that there might be some laundry fluffing as well.
Well, my office is in the basement of our house, right next to the laundry room. And so one of the ways that I give myself little breaks during the day is that I am responsible for the laundry at home. Very glamorous life being in an office. And I actually find that folding is a very relaxing, distracting thing. And so I when the kids come home from school, their laundry is waiting in a nice, neat little pile for them.
All right. And is Gabriel headed to the big screen?
Well, we're working on it. It is a difficult process to try to take a series character like Gabriel Alon and get all the deals done and everything that needs to be put in place to get that project launched. And all I can say is that we are working on it. There's some very interesting possibilities, and stay tuned.
All right. Well, Gabriel is worth waiting for. I love The Fallen Angel. I encourage all our listeners to pick it up. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All righty. Bye. All right, Daniel, is there anything else you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask?
No, that's terrific.
Okay. I swear I love the book. I mean, I...
Thank you. That's so nice of you.
Well, I'm a actually...